Wrapping up here on Take Command with Logan Paulson, I am Craig Hoffman. Your mailbag questions, you can submit them on Instagram at Hoffman.sports and at Logan_Paulson82. You can also get them in at HoffmanShow.com using the contact link. And Logan, this one was sent to you by Joel. Huge fan of yours, and I appreciate your work. I listen in often when you and Craig are doing your podcast, and it's very informative and entertaining. Thanks, Joel. I do have a question for you and was wondering if you had dissected this on the film previously. I was rewatching the Philly playoff game and noticed that that Trent Scott and Chris Paul were in a rotation at right guard. Watching the difference between the two players, there was a drastic improvement / difference when Chris Paul played, I think, for three drives. He lists them out. To be fair, I've always been a fan of Chris Paul and his ability to be stout and maintain a strong pocket. If he showed he can hold his own against Jalen Carter at times, knocking Jalen off the ball and the Philly D-line, why do we not think he is a strong shot to start at right guard while Sam Cosmi is out due to injury? I think if Chris Paul gets a fair shot at playing right guard this season, I think he can be this year's Diami, a guy who obviously underperformed and then when given a bigger opportunity and some good coaching, blew up onto the scene. So, Logan, going into OTAs here, Where do you put Chris Paul and his chances to emerge at one of the guard spots?
Yeah, it's interesting because I do think when Chris Paul plays, he does a really nice job. He's got a great physicality. He's got great length. You can see his strength. Like it's a unique thing. Like we talk about kind of these international pathway guys and like their ability to be kind of freaky and big. And I think that's exactly what his superpower is, man. He's crazy strong. He's crazy explosive. Like you can see his power just shocks guys. I think the thing that, you know, and just watching Chris over the course of his career, you know, which is what, 2 years now, 3 years now?
Yeah.
I think the thing that sticks out to me is like there's a slight lack of like football intuition. There's stuff that he does where like, so one of the things about him coming out of, where did he come out? Toledo? Was that where he was from? Tulane?
Chris, he's entering year 4 from Tulsa. So close. Tulsa,
there we go.
Wrong T-school.
So close. But when I watched him at Tulsa, like he is just like this raw, crazy horse. Like when you see his body posture, it's not something that you would say, hey, young guys, you want to block like Chris Paul. Like he's just bigger and stronger than a lot of guys at Tulsa. Like his pass set's a little bit off. Like his feel for the pass rushing line is a little bit off, right? But he's so explosive and so powerful that you're like, we can make it work. And I think that's one of the reasons he's kind of stuck around the NFL is because, again, like the good is so good. Like I remember his first start he had was against Philadelphia, and he's name your person, Fletcher Cox. Like he's walking that dude off the ball. The problem is, like, let's say we're in a slide. You know, we talked about the man zone slide of a protection. I've got the center working to me. There is a certain feel and intuition that needs to happen there. And I remember watching him with Charles Leno when Charles Leno was here, and Leno's getting ready to pass off a guy on an inside move. And for whatever reason, Chris Paul, remember, it's a gap protection, right? So I've got my outside gap. So if someone's attacking that gap, the center's got to come over, help me out. I got to help the tackle out. And he would just let that guy kind of spill through. Sometimes you see it on combinations, right? His hat's not where it's supposed to be. He's behind the block or he's ahead of the block and gets undercut. And so while the physical tools, I think, are incredibly impressive, like really, like I think he flashes, of the guys on the offensive line, like his flashes are insane. It really, quite frankly, like they're insane flashes. It's the nuance. It's the consistency of the nuance that I think is somewhat lacking. And I think it, you know, like it's one of the things where it's like, can he ever get enough reps to overcome his lack of coaching at, you know, Tulsa when he was there, right? Like, can he ever get that kind of experience and exposure to really warrant a starting spot? Because one of the things that you have to remember is it's not just about the physicality. It's also about the trust that he has with the coaching staff, right? Is he going to be able to do what he's supposed to do for 50 consecutive plays? And when you watch Biotish, when you watch Allegretti, when you watch Wiley, I know those guys get kind of burned on a little bit in the media. Like, they know what the heck is going on. And they're good professional offensive linemen. And Chris Paul right now, because of the lack of reps, really, is not quite there yet. And that's the thing that's somewhat disappointing about the NFL, in my opinion, is it's not great at developing talent. And so you get this guy who obviously physically can do it, but there just hasn't been this great opportunity for him to cultivate and continue to grow, learning multiple systems, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it is funny to me watching the commentary around a guy like Chris Paul versus a guy like Andrew Wiley. Because any NFL coach would watch and be like, give me Wiley. And a lot of fans would watch and give me Chris Paul because they don't realize Chris Paul's making the mistake. It's easy to see Andrew Wiley's mistake. He's in the right place and he gets beat. And you're like, well, son of a gun. That's that guy sucks. And you're like, actually, that just happens sometimes. And then you see Chris Paul and like, you're like, that's not, how could that be? He's over here. And you're like, yeah, that's the problem. He should be over there. See where Andrew Wiley got beat. He should have help, and the help should come from Chris Paul. So like that is the thing about offensive line play that I think sometimes is hard if you are watching a game on TV or even watching the film, like unless you know the slides and you know the rules, you know the protections on that given week and all the tweaks and how they're adjusting to this player, that player, like do we have special rules for Jalen Carter? Like if you don't know all that stuff, it can be really hard to do a true evaluation beyond saying, okay, when they get engaged, when they get the assignment right, how well do they execute it? And Chris Paul's pretty good at that. Chris Paul's pretty good at the...
He's excellent at it.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Let me block someone. Bang, block. Okay, cool. Which is important. But, I mean, football is so much assignment and alignment. And defense more so than offense. You hear that phrase, assignment and alignment. But obviously, offense, it's really important too. And for offensive linemen specifically, if you don't understand where you need to be, you are setting up you're setting up either a mistargeted run where you're going to have a free runner at your back, or you're setting up your quarterback getting absolutely blasted. And that's just the kind of stuff that coaches can't live with. They'd much rather see Andrew Wiley lose slowly than Chris Paul let a free runner through. And that's not to say that he can't get better at that and isn't getting better at that. And maybe for that reason, it's year two in the system with Bobby Johnson, whatever, like he could potentially, because the other thing about Chris is like, he seems like a great dude, like A plus character. I mean, I remember last year when he was at the Senior Bowl, watching his brother play.
And, yeah, with his brother, that's right.
And there's the behind the scenes footage from Commander's Log where he's talking to Adam Peters and just like the conversation is great. And you're like, oh, that's a good dude right there. And so I have no doubt that Chris Paul's putting in the work, but ultimately, like you said, are there the reps available for him to get better, show that off, and then ultimately earn a starting job? I think that is TBD when you have all these vets in front of him, from Wiley, who now might be in the mix inside, Connerly and Coleman, like they're going to sort out right tackle, left guard. You've got
Nate Allegretti. Like you've got a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I was going to say Nate Urbig like, coming in is like a big one. Like they signed him to be a part of a rotation potentially. So there's a lot of dudes in front of him. Now, if Chris Paul can win that job, that's great. Like dude on a cheap rookie contract for another year, then you probably re-sign him fairly on the cheap. And like, that would be amazing. But there's reasons why that hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that this isn't necessarily it's not Chris Paul's fault. And, you know, normally I'm the guy that says, oh, the player's got to take initiative. They got to study. They got to do the thing. And, like, I still believe that. And I think Chris Paul's doing that. I think the problem with offensive line is it's more akin to a combat sport, right, where the reps and the patterning and just seeing it over and over and over and over again is the thing that gives you value. So when you said, oh, like, are there enough reps to go around? I think that's the exact problem with offensive line play coming from college to the NFL, is that there's a huge developmental curve for college offensive linemen, right? Because it's so much more complicated. It's so much more nuanced and the techniques have to be so much more dialed in. And the only way you can do that is to be like, hey man, like I'm going to pass block you. I'm going to run block you. And good luck finding someone to do that for you in the offseason, because it's not a thing, right? So I think that's where like the current offseason structure and we're taking a little bit detour, but the current offseason structure, the way OTAs and minicamps are structured specifically for young offensive linemen, make this extremely challenging, right? For him to kind of consistently get better and improve. And again, like I think if you're looking just straight physicality, like he can 100% do it, but it just, can he learn the 1-2 combinations? Can he pass off a stunt? Does he know what to do versus this pressure? Like, it's just a lot to ask on a limited rep structure.
Yeah, I almost wonder if for some offensive linemen that are kind of on that brink, would you be better off not signing Chris Paul, I presume, if this is year four, will be a free agent after the season. Don't sign a contract. Go play in the UFL. Go like play actual football in the spring. Play well enough to earn a contract in training camp. Like offensive linemen get signed late in camp all the time. You can make the team. Yes, you will miss the offseason install, but you'll be actually become a better football player and get to play real football. Like, I actually wonder if that one, if you were an agent, would you advise that? Two, is that actually functionally the better path?
Yeah, no, I think that's something that I think is really interesting and compelling just because you're getting more reps. I think the problem is in guys that I've coached with or helped coach that are in the USFL is the coaching's from what I understand from them, is not great. So yeah, you're kind of going back to a level of coaching that is maybe no longer developmental, and you're just kind of surviving. And so that's, again, the catch 22 is like, you know, like Johnson does a great job. I was watching, I have a breakdown coming up for Command Center, and I was watching all the runs and all the RPO stuff. And I'm like, man, they did some really good stuff this year. And he got these guys coached up so they're all on the right page. And like having that resource, there's only 32 of them, right? Yeah. And there's some that are better than others, but being
getting on a team is also really important on the only 32 of them.
Correct. And so I think that that's the thing where I look at and I'm like, yeah, like he could go do that and get a lot of reps, but ideally you'd want him to kind of be around the coach and say, hey, yeah, we're going to foster, we're going to make you grow. And, you know, it's crazy. Like looking at some of the young offensive linemen that were in the league last year, like Latham for Tennessee, like, yeah, is he a good football player? Yeah, absolutely. But does he still have a lot of growing to do? Yeah. And I think that's where they'll give him those reps because he's a first round pick, but you know, Chris Paul is the seventh round pick of an old regime. Like, how many reps does he get? And again, like, I want Chris Paul to be successful. I want him to have a shot at it. I want him to make the team. But it just kind of maybe give some context about how tough that road is for him in terms of banking reps that he didn't get in college, I think is really what it boils down to.
Yeah, for sure. It's something that could be an interesting exercise for us. I guess we could do it next week if we really wanted to, is doing a 53 projection. And I know it's stupid early and it's like we would put a million disclaimers on it because we're us, and it's like, this is for entertainment purposes only, but like as an exercise to be like, hey, this is how competitive it's going to be at certain spots. I actually don't think it's the worst idea, so yeah, put that in our back pocket or forget about it, because sometimes that also what happens when I say things haphazardly at the end of the show. What we do have next week for sure is a review of the OTA, because Wednesday it is an open session. So OTA's phase 3, the on-field actual football practices, or as much as you get of one in the spring. That starts next week, so we'll talk about that then. We'll also have more of your mailbag questions on Monday or on Tuesday next week, so get them in. HoffmanShow.com. Use the contact link. Instagram at Logan_Paulson82 or at Hoffman.sports. On Thursday, I'm going to be honest, I have no idea what we're doing, but it'll be fun. It'll be around the Commanders. So if you like fun and you like the Commanders, we'll see you on Thursday. For Logan Paulson, I'm Craig Hoffman. See you next time on Take Command.